our culture in the 21st century that we live in a culture that has become very positive mental attitude oriented, encouragement oriented. You know, we have these sports games where kids play one against the other and everybody gets a trophy for participation. We're into this encouragement and positive encouragement of people as they go along, hoping for a good outcome because of it. And we give credit to people who have achieved great accomplishments in our world and in our culture. We have banquets in their name, celebrations, even days to celebrate, holidays to celebrate certain people who have accomplished great things. As people go along, we give them the thumbs up when they do something right or they do something good. One of my favorite episodes of SpongeBob is the one about the Good Noodle Star, where SpongeBob, you know, is a really good student and he has all these Good Noodle Stars up on the board that the teacher has put up there because he's been so good. But he goes to school one day with Patrick and Patrick is just picking on him and distracting him and all this kind of stuff, and SpongeBob loses one of those Good Noodle Stars and he is devastated and ends up sitting in the back of the classroom, and it just destroys SpongeBob's life because he loses that Good Noodle Star, that accomplishment that he had accomplished. We give our kids in Sunday school, our kids in schools, stars for accomplishing certain things. We put them up on their papers. The goal is to accomplish or to collect as many stars as we can. And when we have banquets or celebrations for people, we applaud their accomplishments, don't we? We applaud all that they have done. And we sort of give them honor and lift them up because of their accomplishments. I was talking about Tom Brady and his jersey. And how this jersey, it just intrigues me how moments after the Super Bowl he could lose his jersey. And it ends up in Mexico somewhere, and it's worth all this money. And the reason it is because of the accomplishments that are behind the jersey that was worn by Tom Brady. And I thought that in the same way, how we fail at times in honoring God, applauding God, and truly giving God the good star, the good stars for his accomplishments that he deserves. The psalmist in Psalm 124 gives us some really good advice that we can grasp and use in our own lives today. The psalmist says a song of ascents of David. Now, we're not sure that David actually wrote this. This was a superscript that was added later on. If David wrote this, he could have been remembering all the accomplishments of Israel based on God's presence in their life in the past. You know, his deliverance through the Red Sea, delivering them from slavery, God's deliverance of his people from the Philistines, and David slayed the giant. If it was written by someone else later on, they could have been remembering the Babylonian captivity and how God's people went into captivity and God delivered them back safely. But that's not really the key here of what this is about. And we can't get all wrapped up in, our Bible says it's from David. We have to keep going in the scriptures and really understand what the Lord is saying to us. And it is that we are to give the Lord the credit where credit is due. The writer says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive, the flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, and the raging waters would have swept us away. If the Lord had not been on our side. Now, I asked myself as I read this, does God really take sides? Do you think God really takes sides? And the answer is, yes, he does. A few years ago, I was sitting at one of the playoff games for our girls' softball team at our local high school, and our girls ran on the field. The other team was on the field. Our bleachers were full of people cheering our team on, and one lady said, I'm really praying that our team wins. And I looked at her and I said, "I'm not." And she looked at me, and everybody looked at me like, "The pastor's not praying for our team. What are you praying for?" I said, "I'm praying that through this great experience that both these teams are having, somehow they experience God in that, and they realize they are only where they are because of God and what He's given to them." And I said to the lady, I said, "You realize all those people over there on those bleachers are praying for their team too. And imagine the bind that God is in." And that was a Catholic school. You know, we put God in these binds. And we say, no, God's not on anybody's side. Yes, He is. Let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. Israel was God's covenant people. God had made a covenant with them. If you obey me and you follow me and you trust me and you have faith in me, I'm going to deliver you and I'm going to take care of you. God made that covenant. Therefore, they were God's covenant people. He was on their side. And we say, well, we're not Jewish. But we're grafted in through Christ. We have the new covenant of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we're grafted into God's covenant family, knowing that as Christians, the Lord is on our side. And it makes a big difference in our lives. Or it should. It should. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and He tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." You see, the key there in the covenant with God is, and again, we talk about this reciprocal relationship. People get on their knees, "Oh God, please, I want this job. Oh please, God, I need more money. Oh, I want that car really bad, God. Oh please, God, help me, God, help me, God." And they end up getting it. And they totally forget about God. You see, that's not a reciprocal relationship. A reciprocal relationship is being committed to God through thick and thin, through good and bad. We say when the bad times come, "Oh my gosh, where is God? I can't handle this. God's not on my side. I've got a pile of bills. I've got this doctor's prognosis for me that's not real good. How can I believe that God is on my side?" You see, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. In other words, they would have been consumed. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. In other words, they would have been overtaken and covered. And in fact, the raging waters would have swept us away. They would have been removed. Had the Lord not been on their side, they would have been consumed, overtaken, covered, and removed totally. See? Had the Lord not been on our side, we'd have been doomed. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 9. "The sons of Aaron the priests are to blow the trumpets. This is to be a lasting ordinance for generations to come. When you go into battle in your own land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpets. Then you'll be remembered by the Lord your God and rescued from your enemies." The key here is that when we get in those battles, we're so wrapped up in the fact that we can't do anything about it. There's no help for me. What am I going to do? I'm going to die here in this. When we should stop for a second and blow the trumpets and say, "Lord God, I can't do it, but I know You can." Like Jehoshaphat, "I'm powerless to do anything. I don't know what to do or say, Lord, but my eyes are fixed on You." That's blowing the trumpet. Sounding the alarm. "I can't do it, but I know God can." And God always comes to the rescue. You see, when we see God like that, and we have to see God like that. We have to. And the way that we do that is when this problem happens, we stop for a moment and we look back and we say, "Gee, if the Lord wasn't on my side, I'd have been consumed way back there." if he got me through that, surely he's going to get me through this. Because he's promised. And his promises are faithful and true. The psalmist writes, if the Lord had not been on our side, we'd have been done. We'd have been consumed, overtaken, covered, and removed. So the psalmist continues by applauding God. You see, this is based on God's past achievements, his accomplishments. You know, the jersey that's worth so much. God is worth so much more because of all that he's done in the past, not just to us, but to all of his covenant people. So what does he do? He applauds God. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We've escaped like the bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Not only did God get them out of the situation, but he broke or destroyed the situation. And right away I think about their trip through the Red Sea. Contrary to modern scholars and intellectuals who think they're so smart that they can say it really wasn't the sea, it was a swampy, marshy area that they went through. The Bible tells us that the Shekinah glory of God went around behind the Israelites, behind the Jews, the Hebrews at that time they were called, and kept Pharaoh's army from getting at them. The Red Sea opened up before them, and God's people went through on dry ground. It wasn't mud, it was dry ground. The Bible tells us, as the sea stood up in walls alongside them, they went across on dry ground, and when they got across, the pillar of fire moved away and allowed Pharaoh's army, now granted they were out, snatched from the fowler's snare, Pharaoh's army went into the sea to pursue them. Into the sea, not into the swamp where they got stuck and couldn't get to God's people, but into the sea, and God went, whoosh, and they were gone. Read the Bible story. Don't believe those guys on TV or the intellectuals today that say, well, it really probably was this. No, it wasn't. It was what the Bible says. God not only delivered them from the fowler's snare, he destroyed the snare. He destroyed the enemy. Any of you feel like you're ensnared right now in your life? You're in chains or something that's got you bound up and you can't move forward. It might be spiritual, it might be financial, it might be psychological, it might be mental, it might be family, it might be work-oriented, it might be school-oriented, it might be marital. But whatever it is, you're here, aren't you? The Lord hadn't been on your side, you wouldn't be this far. You'd have been consumed. Praise be to God who has not let us be torn. And we've escaped and the snare has been broken. And thirdly, the psalmist declares, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I want you to think about what he's saying here in 8 short verses. If the Lord had not been on our side, we'd have been destroyed. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be destroyed. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I want you to think about that next time you got a problem in your life. Get on your knees and say, if the Lord hadn't been on my side before, I'd have been destroyed before. Praise be to the Lord who hasn't let me be destroyed. Praise be to you, Lord. My help is in the name of the Lord. You know how powerful it is? And again, you've heard me talk about this before. You know how powerful it is to take your bills, those bills that you worry about getting paid. All the money in the world belongs to God. He's just shifting it, moving it around. It all belongs to him, okay? It's not our money. It's not your money. You might think you worked for it, but God's allowing you to have it for a time, okay? Next time you have those pile of bills, take those bills. Go into your room, close the door, get on your knees. And you say, my help is in the name of the Lord. You say, my help is in the name of the Lord. You say, my help is in the name of the Lord. You say, my help is in the name of the Lord. And I will guarantee you, you say it and you say it and you say it until you feel the presence of the Lord in that room and you take those bills and you lay them aside and you know that in some way he's going to pay them. Going to make it happen. Or maybe it's a physical situation you're in, a doctor's prognosis or diagnosis in your life. You want to cry till you die. You can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. I can tell you who to ask here this morning what to do about it. Right, Michelle? Right, Grace? My help is in the name of the Lord. And we got two ladies here this morning smiling, changed, because they know if the Lord hadn't been on my side, I'd have been consumed. I'd have been swallowed up. Praise be to God who has not let me be destroyed. My help is in the name of the Lord. Powerful, powerful in the battle that we're fighting. And our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against your neighbor. It's not against your spouse. It's not against your children. It's not against your classmates. It's not against your co-workers. It's not against the pastor. It's not against your church members. The battle is a spiritual battle we are in because the enemy wants to divide us, because when we're divided, we're destroyed. You ever hear the term conquer and divide? Divide and conquer. The enemy works to divide people because he knows when he divides them, he can conquer them. Jesus wants to bring people together and unify them because he knows there is where there's going to be strength and power. The glory belongs to the Lord. We've been talking a lot about glorifying God in our lives. The purpose of our existence is to bring glory to God. If you want to bring glory to God, take your problems. Get on your knees. And you say, if it hadn't been for the Lord, I'd been consumed before. Praise be to you, God, for not allowing me to be consumed. And Lord, here, my help is in your name. Now, sometimes we might have to wait for that. Jeremiah was called a weeping prophet. You know why? Because he wept as he watched his beloved Jerusalem destroyed by the enemies coming in to take over the city and take his people into captivity. They burned the city, sacked the city, took his friends, his family to Babylon. And he wept as he watched this happen. And he wrote, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul's downcast within me." You see, when we dwell on our problems, all it does is drag us down and just give us a sick feeling in our gut, doesn't it? We're downcast within our soul when we start focusing on the problems rather than giving them over to God. I don't care if you come in here during the week, lay them on the altar here and pray about it. I don't care if you pray in your bathroom. I don't care if you pray in your bedroom. I don't care if you pray at work about it. I don't care if you pray together with people or alone. I don't care if you ask me to pray with you. But the key is we quit focusing on the problems and start focusing on the solution. And the solution lies in the Lord our God, the maker of heaven and earth. Every solution to every problem in every way. We say, well, what about that person that gets cancer and they're going to die? God gives that person the same sense of peace that He gives every one of us when we ask. Knowing that they are not ultimately going to be consumed, but they're actually going on to something better, trusting and relying on the Lord. That may not be a source of comfort to you, but I know it is to me, whether I get cancer or whatever happens to me. My hope is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Jeremiah says, I remember how bitter I was. I remember the affliction I went through. And remembering them, focusing on them, my soul's downcast within me. It makes me sick. I want to throw up. Yet, there's a lot of deep theology and power in this word, yet. Yet is neither positive or negative. It's a neutral word of transition in a person's life. And I hope that as you're as the power of all those things in life has you downcast, that you hear God saying, no, yet, because yet is the transition, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. That because of the Lord's great love we're not consumed, because His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I'll wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Here's the problem. We don't want to wait. We're Americans. We don't wait for anything. We're mad if the cheeseburger isn't out the window within 2 minutes so we can get on to the next thing and be mad because the next thing's holding us up from the next thing there, you see. You know what I have found sometimes is the best thing when we're battling these spiritual battles or there's problems in our lives? Go to bed and get a good night's sleep. Because when you do, it not only allows the Lord to work in your heart and in your soul and in your mind, but it also allows the Lord to work in the problem, whatever that might be. You see, He's working on both sides, okay? No matter how much you're praying for that other person, good or bad, no matter how much you're praying for them, God's working not only on them, He's working on you too. And sometimes we need to stop for a moment and relax and let God work in the situation to resolve it. But instead, we've got control. We got to do something now. This is not good. We got to do something right now. And it gets us in more trouble because in haste, we take control of the situation rather than saying, my help is in the name of the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord because every morning His compassions are new. And the Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We are His covenant people. Is the Lord on His side? You better believe He's on our side. Because we've trusted in Him. And we believe the Scripture that tells us that whosoever believes in His Son would not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life begins right now. God doesn't want us to perish today, tomorrow, or the next day. But when the time comes that we do, we even have the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. I'd say that's a pretty awesome God to have as a friend. And I think, personally, that it's time that we, not only as Christians, give God credit where credit's due. And really start speaking the name of the Lord. When something happens, saying, yeah, that was a real coincidence. Boy, that really worked out good. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. The Lord was on my side. The Lord made it happen. I have the Lord to thank. And my help is in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. God, you're